Well, welcome back, everybody who's been joining us on our podcast. Tonight, we are very lucky to have from the Langdale College of Business, Dr. Zulal Deneau, and who teaches, is a professor of economics, and who has worked on so many undergraduate research symposiums, I can't even tell you. We've had the pleasure of working together on the QEP and other groups on campus, and so I'm thrilled to have you here tonight and talking about what we are doing or what you are doing in research. So if our first question, I've listed questions before for all of our speakers, and the first one is, what research areas have you been involved in?
First of all, I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about my research. I think I would start, you know, our conversation to just introduce myself, if it's okay.
I would appreciate that. Thank you.
So I have a bachelor degree in economics from Turkey. So I'm originally from Turkey. I came to United States in 1994. I had my MBA at one of the school at University of New Hampshire. Then I had my PhD in economics and minor in statistics in North Carolina State University. And I started working at Valdosta State since 2002. So I primarily teach principle of macro and international economics and research methods. So my area of research centers around applied economics with an emphasis on international trade and the policies, monetary policy and its effect on economy and economic growth and development, and environmental issues and their impact on the broader economy and the effects on public policy. To give you guys an example of, you know, of my applied economic research, I would love to talk about, you know, my doctoral dissertation just briefly. My, you know, PhD dissertation investigates the effect of government spending and the taxes on the effect of economic growth. In this research, I extend the existing economic theory and use real-world data to investigate the simultaneous effect of taxes and spending on the economic growth. Main contribution was to include both side of the government budget, so revenue and the spending. So I was able to break it down, the taxes and the spending, into the state and the local level. Since then, I, you know, conducted several projects covering the areas that I mentioned earlier. The most recent research that I collaborated with my Turkish colleague, in that research, we investigate or we looked at the relationship or kind of, you know, causality relationship between, you know, energy consumption and economic growth in the U.S. for the period of 1973 and 2018. So basically, the question we want to know, you know, what is the causality of this relation? Is energy causing the economic growth, or economic growth is a major factor to increasing the energy consumption? And we were also able to break it down to, you know, the more disaggregate level of the consumption. So we'll talk about, you know, how about the renewable energy and how about the, you know, non-renewable energy by each different sectors of the consumption. So that's what the recent project that we completed, actually. And finally, we sent it for a publication. It was 8 months ago. We haven't heard anything yet.
Oh, my.
It takes, in our field, it takes so long to hear from, you know, from journal, especially if it's from the top journals. So
yeah.
Turnaround rate is very, very long. Of course,
well,
you know, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it doesn't help with COVID.
That actually contributed a lot as well.
Yes.
So, you know, the it seems like, you know, you may think, yeah, you may think that I only do research just looking at the U.S. economy. That's not my research. It's not limited to U.S. economy. I have done several projects looking at the different economic factor issues, policies affecting the Turkish economy. And recently, I'm actually looking at the research, just focusing on the South Korea, because South Korea has a very impressive, you know, the economic history. And I thought it would be really great to, you know, dive into that part as well. And so I can easily say that I have very, very diverse research portfolio. To sum up, as I said before, you know, my research very much centered around the applied economic, you know, the applied economics. It basically what it means that, you know, the applied economics means you take the underlying economic theory or the relationship that relation we're applying to real world situation. And I'll give an example also. I did a research on a major league baseball with my undergraduate students. And we both explored the relationship between teams, wins, and annual payroll for the major league baseball. And the student, my undergraduate students, presented his research at the VSU undergraduate symposium. And he had also a chance to present his research at a national economic conference right before the, you know, the COVID hit the market.
Right.
And the paper published in a peer-reviewed journal in October 2020. So I think that's all I can say for this part.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, congratulations on your student getting published. That's incredible.
Yes.
I remember the paper too. I thought it was fascinating.
But yes, he did a wonderful job.
Yes, he did. And I have to say, I'm amazed because I've known you for how many years, and to find out all the projects you've been involved in, that's pretty fantastic too.
Yes,
I wonder, have you thought about, since it's not my field, have you looked into, or do the economies sort of have any impact on each other, like South Korea, Turkey, the United States? Are you able to pick up why certain things work better in one place than another? I know nothing about this.
Yeah, I think that's very broader, you know, the concept.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what we do, because each economy has their own unique, you know, set of variables. You know, some, you know, their set of variables and the economic factors are so different, and the one things work in one place does not mean that it's going to work the other place. And then as actually that's what we incorporate all the differences and with the using different data sets and different countries. We say, you know, look, this is the underlying research, this is the underlying theory. But in this country, the result is this. But if you apply the exact same, you know, the methodology, and you get the completely different result, and we say why. And then we'll talk about the policy, different policies. And I think you brought up very, you know, important issue that we all do it in our research.
I think that's fascinating, because to me, it would be really interesting to look at how the cultures,
yes,
the variation in the cultures change not only the economy itself, but how they approach it, you know, what is a value to them in the economy.
That would
be fascinating.
Yes.
Well, I want to take your class now. So,
yes, well, I'll teach you all about it.
I would love that. I really would. Okay, so in all your projects, I've been asking everybody this. Was there a favorite project or a least favorite project?
Yes, you know what? It's funny. You know, I'm glad you asked that question, because funny enough that my favorite project has nothing to do with economic policies, all that, you know, all the fancy, you know, the terms I use. And it has actually something to do with Major League Baseball again.
Yeah.
I really don't understand that sports at all, but I published, you know, several articles in the area.
Yeah.
So this project that I completed in, I think it was 2010, and I completed that research with with my husband
and a colleague
from Turkey who was working with me at VSU as a visiting scholar. So we looked at the factors affecting demand for attendance at Major League Baseball. It turned out a really, really big, the data set. I mean, we were looking at the over 20,000 observations for this project. And at the end, we find that we said, the different time of the day of the week, and the months, year that the game is played, or different like interest variables, like, the weather the game is an opening game, or it was a home team play in the interleague rival, per capita income for baseball teams that resided in that U.S., those are the factors we find it, significant predictor for the long run attendance demand for the league. It was a truly fun project. It was, work with a colleague from Turkey.
Yeah.
And she was a statistician, so I was able to tap into her, the skills.
Right.
And of course, the my husband's skills, because he's from this country, he can actually answer my question about the sport, which I drove him crazy. I don't really have a project that I don't like. I love each one of them. But if I, point at one, I would say the most difficult one was coming out of my dissertation, because it took me 3 years to get it published. And I'm glad to say that it was published at a very, top economic journals in the world.
Oh, congratulations. That's fantastic. 3 years is a long time.
Yep, took 3 years.
Was it just the wait on the peer review, or what?
No, I think the editor was just being very tough on me. And I don't know the reason, but finally, I got really glowing reports from the referee, and then I guess editor could not say no. I had to publish.
I love that. I've actually run into some of that in my own publishing, where like an editor really doesn't like my position on a topic.
That's exactly right. Yes.
But then they finally get good peer reviews, so they have to publish it anyway.
Yeah, that exactly happened to me.
Yeah, you just have to keep pushing through. Yeah, it's wonderful. So I know that you all have very different methodology than we do in the humanities.
Right, yes.
What are some of the things that have been obstacles for you all? I imagine right now COVID is the biggest.
I know. I mean, in terms of research, I think finding the research topic is the hardest part of the research.
Okay.
And of course, you start with something that you have interest in. And then once, personally, this is how I do, personally, when I identify the aspect that I really want to learn about, for example, mm-hmm. I really want to learn about the effect of COVID on the U.S. economy or world economy, right?
Right.
So what I do, I always, go to look at examine the existing literature and to figure out who studied what and what they find, and then and what kind of methodology they use. And I said, how can I contribute to the body of this economic research? And then, the contribution may be from us. Its contribution may be the application of a different economic technique. That's what we do. We always use, existing literature and the changing the different set of variables, different data. And mainly we actually use different econometric techniques, or more advanced econometric techniques, to understand the relationship. Because that's what all we try to do. We try to understand the relationship, what is the impact of COVID on, such and such. So that's what we're trying to, do. So often what I find myself, and also we may be, use the existing econometric technique. We may not change the economic technique, but we'll use a different set of parameter or different set of, countries. and that's what we do. The often I find myself, you know, tapping into my other colleagues who have specific skill set to enhance my research topic. And I think that's all I do. That's all the obstacle, I guess.
Okay. It sounds like you do a lot of collaboration.
We do.
Field.
Yes, exactly. We do a lot.
Yeah.
Because, we do a lot of applied works. So
right.
When we do applied works, we really do need somebody understand this, you know, different the data. And in that respect, we do statistician, or we need to know econometrician who understand this relationship, and
yeah.
and to figure out all the noises going around in the data. The major, you know, the obstacle, I guess, in our field is to understand the data. That's the challenge.
Yeah, it sounds like there's so much out there.
Yeah, finding the right technique to understand this underlying relationship. I think that's the main challenge that we have.
Well, that's fascinating. It sounds like to me that your methodology in economics is much more of a conversation with many colleagues than, say, a lot of times in the humanities, it's just one person doing their work.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. Yes.
See,
we collaborated with others.
I think that would be so fun. And I've enjoyed the collaborations I've done in the past. But that brings me to the next question, though. What is your favorite part of research, or what's your least favorite part of research?
I know. Of course, you know, my favorite part is, you know, the playing around the data and trying the different estimation model to understand the best fit.
Yeah.
To explain this underlying model. That's what I love the most, because I'm a visual person, so I can able to see the data and then plot the data to figure it out what's going on.
Yeah.
And looking at all the numbers, identify the relationship. That's what, you know, I think that fascinates me the most. But what is the most difficult part? I think you can guess it, because most difficult part is, you know, I'm not, my native tongue is Turkish,
yes.
And I have to publish in English. That is a challenge.
I bet it is.
But I learned how to publish and write in English. I still have a very difficult time to use the articles. You know,
yeah.
In Turkish language, we don't have an article.
Really?
We don't. And it's just, that is the shortcoming of my, you know, writing.
Yeah.
So I have to ask, you know, a friend of mine and to edit my paper.
Well, you know, that makes sense. And I can't imagine myself writing in another language. And my German is so bad. It would be embarrassing. So I can't imagine having to add that level of difficulty. But I've thought about that a lot with some of our students who are that English is their second language. And we see them in the undergraduate research doing these wonderful projects. And I think
yes.
That is really impressive to me to be able to do that.
Yes.
and I know you've supported many of them. So
yes, I can relate to them.
Yeah. 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 That makes perfect sense. We've been asking, and as we get to the end of this, we've been asking, what advice would you want to give to students about research?
Yes, that's a great question. And, you know, I have done a lot of research, many research with my undergraduate students. And then I was able to actually encourage them to present their research at the National Conference. So they presented their, you know, research paper at the different conferences. And what I really advise them, what I see is like they're so afraid of in talking to their professor, or they're so afraid of engaging them to do research. So what I advise them to just don't be afraid to talk to your professor. I mean, we're just nice people. we are wealth of knowledge, and we're here for them. I hope they'll get this message. That's my advice to them.
I love that because I think you're right. You know, students often feel very intimidated. And even now, I think it's in some ways worse because we have to close our doors because of COVID.
Yes. But
we love to talk about what we do.
That's absolutely right.
And I really enjoyed it. I spent the afternoon, we had posters at the Capitol, and we had one person from VSU who presented, and it was so fun. And he was nervous, especially when the president showed up.
Oh, my goodness. That's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. But he did great. And it was just so much fun. I'm hoping that we can get the idea through all these podcasts and other things that research really is fun. And we're here to help anybody.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So,
and you're doing a great job with this BSc in an undergraduate symposium.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for all you do.
Thank you. But I couldn't do it without you guys. It's been a challenge during COVID, but you all on the committee have come through and we've expanded. We went international last year, so we're hoping to do that again.
Yes. That was good.
Yeah, you can tell all the people in Turkey to tune in. And
that's right.
Hear your students. And well, I know you've got things to do, and I do appreciate your time. It's always wonderful to talk to you. I always enjoy it.
Thank you so much. I hope I wasn't that boring, but this is what we do.
You're never boring. As a matter of fact, listening to what you do and what your dissertation was on, I was fascinated. Because
thank you.
You know, I would love to read it. So I'll have to get a copy. Then you'll have to explain it to me because
I know, right?
I'm humanities. So, but anyway, it was great talking to you and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much for everything. It was a pleasure to talk to you as well.
Thank you. And for everybody listening, we appreciate you coming back to our webinar podcasts and hope to see you in all of our other events. Thank you.